Greetings and salutations, fine people. I'm Patty Alvarez. Welcome to The Good Soul, a show where we'll have supercharged chats with everyday humans from all walks of life and unpack what in their story will inspire us all. We'll extract the untapped wisdom, distill it, and serve it up to you in all the right ways that will engage, enlighten, and most of all, inspire growth within your soul. I think people are awesome. So join me on this journey through the hearts and minds of ordinary people to uncover the good soul within you. This is The Good Soul. Hello, world. Welcome to The Good Soul, episode 9. Our topic for today's episode is Project Change. And the whole circling topic, or our conversation around this topic, is going to be accepting an ongoing challenge. In our case today, it's with regards to any type of health situation with our child. So I'd like for you to meet Juliet Thomas.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Thank you for being here. So in my eyes, Juliet is a force beyond measure. She's a mom. She's a wife. Which I really learned recently, you're an amazing entrepreneur with an entrepreneurial spirit, like somebody of the likes of Darren Zeno, I would say. And with the help of her son, Cash, she's now become kind of a pioneer to this foundation that they've started called Project Change. So Juliet's son, Cash, was struck with a rare bone disorder called fibrous dysplasia. It's something I don't think anybody is ever really prepared for, but what I've seen from this level and from my perspective is Juliet and her family and the community around her really exhibit some of the most empowering and unifying, I would say the event, right? The run is the event, but just meeting and really organizing this whole nonprofit has been, for me, very, very enlightening, very, I don't know, it just restores your faith in humanity to see what people will do. So we're going to get to what fibrous dysplasia is. We're going to talk about the fun run. But in the meantime, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you before we get started. So tell me about you. Tell me about where you're from and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Juliet Thomas, and I'm from Hendersonville, North Carolina, which is the mountains, and I grew up on an apple farm. So my dad worked on a sawmill and also apple farmed, and my mom stayed at home. She was a PE teacher the second half of my childhood, and pretty modest beginnings is what we grew up with, and I do have a brother. We went to church quite a bit on Sunday.
That's good. Yeah,
so, you know, Southern
recently.
Baptist.
Yeah.
In high school, I played volleyball.
Okay.
And I remember my mother saying to me, hey, we want you to go to college. We hope you're really good at a sport or really smart. And so I chose the second of the two, being good at a sport, and I played volleyball.
Okay.
And I actually got a full ride to college. Okay. I got recruited to 35 schools across the United States.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I chose a Division I school, UNCG. And that's where I met my husband, who also played sports. So my husband and I met at 18 years old. The first day of preseason, the athletes go to college, you know, ahead of time before the rest of the student population. And he was one of my best friends initially that we met.
Okay.
So
Blake is your husband.
Blake is my husband. He wrestled. And he's also from pretty humble, modest beginnings. Actually, this is a fun fact. He grew up on one of the oldest homes in North Carolina.
Okay. What town?
So he grew up in Stokes County in Germantown.
Okay.
And he actually, to heat their house, they used a wood stove.
Oh, wow.
And the wood stove was outside. He used an axe and a chainsaw, him and his brother and his dad, and they cut wood and fed the fire, and that's how it heated the home.
Wow. Okay, so both of you, is your brother older or younger?
He is older.
Okay, and what about his siblings?
Younger.
Younger, so he's the oldest and you're the youngest. All right, I just want to rewind a little bit. You said your father worked in a sawmill.
Yes.
And your mother was a PE teacher. Mm-hmm. Part-time, was it?
Or she was a part-time PE teacher.
Okay.
And then the apple farming industry took a really heavy hit when I was a young child at like 7 or 8 years old. And my dad opened up another business and he became a mechanic at that time.
Okay. So did you live on the apple farm?
We did. Yes.
So what would you do? You would grow apples. Would you sell them at a wholesale level to markets? How did that all
work? So I think we had a family business at the time where his brother and my father also had a lot of land, and they apple farmed, and they had it's not a sawmill. They did own a sawmill where they would saw trees and woods, but they also had a packing house where they would go and they would ship the apples. And I think Gerber was one of their biggest customers.
Oh, wow.
That they had.
Okay.
And I think that Gerber had a factory in Hendersonville that went out of business sometime during the 1980s.
Okay.
And that caused a huge movement of the apple farmers to make a change and either, you know, dive into apple farming or find a different career. So. Mm-hmm.
Were there specific, was it like Fuji or like what
you know,
type of apples?
Back then, I don't think there was a lot of like cross.
They were just apples?
You're right. They were just like Golden Delicious. And I think we had Granny Smith's and okay. some very basic apples.
That's really cool. Yeah. And did you guys always, I know we're talking too much about apples, which is
no,
off
it's
topic,
okay.
It's really interesting to me. So did you guys partake in this apple festival that they
We
had?
Did. Actually, if yeah. you go down Hendersonville during Labor Day and you yeah. participate in the apple festival, I'm yeah. like related to probably almost most of the people standing there selling apples.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember I was at the oral surgeon. I can't think, but doctor, it starts with an SH, and I was like half asleep and Novocained. And he starts talking about this apple festival. And I remember being like, I really want to go to the apple festival. That and the hot air balloon mm-hmm. festival I've never been to. Okay. So you meet in college. How do you end up in the Lake Norman area?
Well, we met in college. We ended up transferring to Queens together. So I tore my rotator cuff my sophomore year at college and transferred over to Queens. I finished playing at a Division II school. So very fortunate to have all of my college paid for through volleyball. And my husband, my fiance at the time, we met at 18, engaged at 19, married at 21. So we got married in college, decided to transfer with me. So we graduated from Queens University and bought our first house when we were 22 years old up in Huntersville.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And was there houses in between that or just that one house?
Well, I mean, you have to think we met at 18, engaged at 19. So we spent some time in the dormitory and then an apartment complex in Charlotte. Okay. And then once we were married, we moved into our first home.
Would they let you live together in the dorm since you were married or no?
I don't remember if that was an option. I think that how it worked. We actually didn't live together in the dormitory. We lived together once we were married and in the apartment complex our junior year.
Okay, so. And career-wise, he's in medical?
Yes, Blake does trauma for Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
So.
In a hospital or
yes,
in? Every
I'd
time
say,
I see him, he's in scrubs.
Yeah, he's working quite a bit. So he's on call 24/7.
Wow.
He has some time off. I think he set a record this summer. He worked 41 days in a row.
Wow.
And there's no set hours. So if okay. it's a traumatic situation and gunshot wounds, things like that, he's called in.
Well, I guess he's prepared. Wow. Okay, and what about you? You majored in what, and what was your career when you got out of college?
Yeah, so I majored in communications. Out of college, I went straight into sales. I've spent most of my career in medical sales and also in real estate, and I've had about 15 very successful years in medical sales.
Okay. And that's where I really started to get to
yes.
know you. Juliet, so for everybody understands, we met. I have a yoga studio called Good Soul. And Juliet, we met in the lobby. We had some really great conversations even before all this stuff started happening with cash. So we're going to flash the graphic, the QR code, and the website, which is www.projectchange.info, if I'm not mistaken. And we are going to come back after a quick break, and we're going to talk about fibrous dysplasia and what it means and what kind of an impact it's had on their family. And I'll say this again, a little teaser from what I see, I'm inspired and impressed, that's for sure. So this is a really fascinating story. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey guys, welcome back to The Good Soul. This is episode 9, and we are talking Project Change with my dear sweet friend, Juliet Thomas. Hi again.
Hi.
So Juliet was kind enough to share with us her story about her upbringing and how her and her husband met. And we talked a little bit about apples because I find the whole apple industry around here really interesting. And we left off where you guys were in Huntersville. Mm-hmm. And when did the kids come along?
So we had our home in Huntersville, and we started buying other homes in between and keeping the homes that we already owned, and moved from that home to another home in Mooresville to the home that we are currently at.
And you would rent out?
Yeah, yes, and a couple in between. So we would rent what we owned, and we just kept it moving.
Okay.
Our children, we had our first son at 27, which is Eli, and he's 13 now. Okay. And we had Cash at 29, and Cash is 11 years old now. 11. So that makes me 21 by the math.
It sounds good. Me too. That
right.
I guess that makes me 23.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And Manny, exactly. What, 26? Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. 25 for life. Okay, so pretty routine childhoods for them, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Anything out of the ordinary just up until, and we'll
no,
get to.
No, I mean, honestly, at that time, during their childhood, I spent a lot of time traveling for work, and my husband spent a lot of time working. So we were very fortunate. We had some fantastic nannies that really helped us. So to me, that was pretty typical for like Charlotte Metro, yeah. What we have. So
how long have you been in the house that you're in now?
About 10 years, 9 years.
So
yes.
most of Cash's life. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about fibrous dysplasia. We'll talk about how you started noticing these signs, and maybe we can educate everybody as to what exactly it's all about.
Yeah, sure. So okay. We were moving along quite normally in life. And mm-hmm. at the time we were focused on, you know, having a very happy home and raising our children and being committed to doing the right things and setting them up for success, both at school or whatever was needed financially, too. And I started noticing some changes to Cash's left side of his face that I thought were due to a front tooth not coming in. So half of Cash's face, his front teeth developed and erupted normally, and the other half did not erupt, especially the front tooth on the left side.
Erupted meaning just come in?
Coming in. Okay. Yes. So, okay. You know, we had been very diligent about his dental care, taking him to the orthodontist in advance, everything that was needed. And then suddenly there was some cause for concern about, okay, something does not seem right. So we went in to get an oral scan, a CT scan from a local oral surgeon. And when the scan came up on the wall, I remember I was sitting out in the lobby and I was trying to do a conference call for work. And they came back and got me and said, hey, you need to come in here quite immediately. Okay. And I had Eli and Cash with me, and I walked in, and the oral surgeon was speechless. And he had his scans up on several computer screens and said, you know, I have some concerns. And he brought several staff members in with him at that point. And he started pointing to some white material that should not be, that, you know, showing me one side of the scan that was, you know, looked like a normal face. And then another scan with some abnormal growth. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Juliet, I'm going to make several copies of this disc, and I want you to leave here, and I want you to get on the phone, and I'm going to call UNC Chapel Hill, and we're going to see if we can't get some readings on this right away. Okay. And so I said, okay, are you concerned? You know, what is going on here? Like, is mm-hmm. this cancer? Like, what is happening? And he said, you know, to be honest with you, I can't diagnose him. I've never seen this before in my life. So I started getting
on. So what doctor at this point does he direct you to?
He's speechless.
So neurologist, he doesn't know where to
send. Nobody knows. So,
oh, great.
So I get on the phone with my husband, and I'm sending him a scan because my husband does trauma for J&J, and he's constantly looking at scans, and he's full of he's in rooms and OR suites full of some of, you know, Charlotte's most intelligent people and best physicians.
Sure.
And
okay.
They are looking at his scan, and they are also speechless. And so we know at that point that we have a problem. So I call Dr. Tom Carnaggio and my best friend Robbie.
Sure.
And yep. Say, hey, you know, we need more eyes on this. And Tom is a very successful prostodontist. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's donated to the charity, which we'll talk about
later. I didn't know that Robbie's husband was in. I mean, I know obviously he's in.
Yeah.
I didn't know the word prosta. What is it again?
Prostodontist.
I didn't know. I knew he was a dentist is what I would have thought.
Yeah.
But that's exciting that you had a family friend helping you. How comforting.
Oh, it's been amazing. So, I called Tom and Robbie. They took his scan and then they started passing his scan to the medical community as well. And there was a big ripple effect. From there, I got on the phone and I started calling my colleagues. At the time, I was working in at Cardinal Health and Medical Cells. So I also had a very robust network of people supporting me in the medical community. And at that time, the consensus was to put his scan on a physician chat site so that people across the United States could start weighing in and see what was going on. So we started getting phone calls from all over. One of the phone calls, this was all within a couple hour period of time. I do want to interject and say that when I first got his scan the first day, I had called, Robbie, who's an amazing human being, and she was waiting in my driveway for me, but before I even got home.
Very
So
sweet.
I, you know, it means so much when people are able to come and really support you in a really hard time. I'm sure that was very difficult for her, but certainly appreciate it.
Well, I'm sure if she were here to say, she would say it's probably her honor to do so, to have that kind of role in the situation. So, yeah. Okay, so who figures out?
So we started, we had a phone call from Charlotte and we were told, hey, he has cancer. So,
What? I
yes.
never knew this.
Yeah. And so for about 24 hours, we were under the impression that he had, facial cancer. The next day, we received a phone call from a physician in Dallas, Texas, who redirected us to somebody up in Michigan. And we called Dr. Sean Edwards, who's the head of the cranial facial team at CS Mott's. And he said, hey, great news. This is benign. And I want you to fly cash up here, and I'm going to be the quarterback of his care. And fortunately, Dr. Edwards is, he's a lovely man, great person, highly educated
I
person,
have goosebumps.
well respected in the community. And we flew up there and he started helping us really navigate and understand, what this would mean for cash.
Where is up there?
So, and it's in Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yes. So, we, for cash, it's very complicated, and fibrous dysplasia is a complicated diagnosis. And so I'm going
Can
to
you
talk a
tell
little
us what
bit.
it is? Yeah, that'd be great.
So fibrous dysplasia really is when your bone kind of goes crazy and it's filled with abnormal growth. For Cash specifically, it affects the left side of his face. So it's got his cheek, it's got his palate. So his teeth are impacted. It's part of his jaw. It's in his sphenoid. Your sphenoid is a butterfly-shaped bone that your optic nerve runs through. And on both sides of your face, it's symmetrical, kind of like this. But for Cash, his bone is compromised and growing. So it kind of squeezes here. So, at first we had thought there might be potential for him to go deaf and blind on the left side of his face as he grows, because this disease does grow erratically in that diseased bone, not in a way that's formed like your other bones on your other side of your face.
So can I just ask and real fast? So as we grow, our bones expand. And what happens is what's coming in as the growth would be this abnormal tissue versus healthy bone. Is that kind
It's
of it in a
exactly. It's
nutshell?
like a scar-like tissue for bone.
And how does the is it seems like it's a pattern. It's either in the face, the femur, I think I had read.
Well, it can occur anywhere.
It can occur
It can
anywhere.
occur anywhere, and there are people that have fibrous dysplasia in multiple bones, different locations in their long bones.
But
And for
Cash just in his face.
Cash has cranial facial. So at this time, his teeth are impacted because it is affecting his palate. I don't know how much it's going to impact his hearing potentially or his vision. The consensus is that he will be fine, but as he continues to grow as a child, into manhood, that there's really no predicting what is going to happen with those bones.
Okay, so at this point, we're getting treatment in Michigan. He's 10 years old at
He's
this
9 years
point,
old when he was
diagnosed.
diagnosed. And so the consensus was, and we consulted with the National Institute of Health, that there is no treatment, there is no cure. The only thing that they can do is give him medication to stop the bone growth, which is not positive for a child, or he can endure surgery when it's medically necessary or it's time to intervene. So from that point, we started kind of getting our wings underneath us. And we started flying all over the United States to basically interview physicians about how and medical teams about how to approach Cash to help him in the best way possible. So Cash has been to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He's been to Boston Children's. He's been to Duke. He's been to Michigan and Vanderbilt and Dallas, Texas. Okay. So I'm going to kind of fast track here, but long story short, Cash endured a major cranial facial reconstructive surgery at the age of 11 years old in Dallas, Texas, by a physician that's world renowned for cranial facial surgery. So in July of 2023, Cash was cut underneath his lip from here to here. They removed an egg-sized tumor from his face, went 5 centimeters deep into his face, and then they took the top layer of his skull, which is what this physician is famous for, splitting the skull, and he remade his face out of the skull, the top layer.
Okay. So we're going to hit pause here, because that's kind of a cliffhanger of a moment and what a really kind of triumphant and admirable thing for him to have endured. We're going to learn about how he's healed and how Juliet and her family and the tribe that she's surrounded by turned this into magic, is what I would say. It's really unified our community and created something really fantastic. So don't go away. We will be back and we're going to talk about the foundation project change and more to come, and how we can handle situations like this if our friends or family go through it. We'll be back. Hello, universe. Welcome back to The Good Soul. We are on episode 9. This is Project Change, is what we're talking about. All things Juliet, Cash, Eli, and Blake Thomas and the way they're inspiring us. Juliet, we left off on our last segment talking about his surgery, which was a success, from what I understand. In July of 2023, he had reconstructive surgery to his face. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about that, the recovery and what things look like now.
So I will say that if I had not been there to witness what transpired during the surgery and after, I wouldn't believe it. And I do think it's interesting, because what I have seen Cash as a child endure and how he has handled it with such calmness and grace is really shocking. I would have never believed it if I hadn't seen it myself. I feel like he's been very calm and embraced the situation with complete confidence. And it's very interesting he's able to handle and talk about the diagnosis and what's transpiring, you know, without emotion. And he just really accepts who he is and what's happening.
Juliet, what does it look like in a doctor's office with a 9-year-old? And does the doctor tell you with him in the room? How does that all work?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the reality of it is that Cash has facial differences and he has a face that is evolving. And even with the surgery, you know, it can be a changing situation and he may have to endure different surgeries. But there's language that is appropriate to be used, like facial differences and facial asymmetry. We don't say the word deformity because I just feel like that's not appropriate and not the right language to use when you're talking about a disease or with a child. So there's terminology and ways to educate the community and a child when you're talking about this disease. It's interesting because when you face a diagnosis like this, what happened for us is they did have like a social worker come in our room and sit with us and talk to us and try to have different levels of care for what's needed. But I do want to go back and talk about the surgery, because what was fascinating to me is Cash has not really cried very much throughout the situation and the diagnosis. In fact, he's kind of just said, well, this is who I am. And in fact, I've heard him say, Mom, you know, I really only have one life to live and I'm going to make the most of it. So he's very much a inspiration for for me to see how he's handling it. When he had the surgery, he woke up from surgery, and it's quite a big surgery, and he looked over at my husband and he said, was the surgery a success? And the only time he cried was when he saw a mirror and he said yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
wow. It was a success. And so that's the only tear he shed, which is amazing.
It sounds like it was a tear of joy, though, Juliet. It wasn't a tear of
despair. It wasn't a sadness.
It
was just this, you know, interesting, this child.
Yeah. Well, if those are tears that we're going to cry, those are the tears that we want them to be. That's for sure. So,
yeah, totally. So what was really amazing is I do feel like we chose the world's best cranial facial team. Cash walked out of the hospital in about 28 hours. Okay. He was magnificently swollen, and we stayed in the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, you did?
Well, we did.
Can you like tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I will say that, you know, the Ronald McDonald House is a magical place where it's unfortunate you have to be there. But if you have to go, that you're surrounded by people who want to help you, mm-hmm. and that they are also enduring some type of hardship, so they can be empathetic and very sensitive to what's going on. And it also normalizes the situation for the children, mm-hmm. because the Ronald mm-hmm. McDonald House isn't just like for cancer. It's for a disease state. It may be for eating disorders. There's huge eating disorder clinics in Dallas, Texas. So there was several children there that had been there for like 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So the Ronald McDonald House, I can't say enough great things about it. Everybody there for the most part is a volunteer. A lot of what's there is donated, and mm-hmm. it's an appropriate place to be if you can be with a child versus inside of a hospital.
Well, and I just want to hit pause, and I do want to point out something to everybody who's listening and watching, is that we are hit all day. We're inundated with donate, 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 donate. This is a prime example of how these dollars that we're contributing turn into something so beautiful, such as yeah. the Ronald McDonald House, such as Project Change. Like, these dollars, they matter in people's lives, and they make a huge difference. And it's far beyond the scope of the material. It's just knowing that you're loved and supported by your fellow humans, your fellow Americans.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about the charity that okay. we have and that the Absolutely. Community has helped us with. But one of the things that, you know, motivated us or to do some things in our charity is when Cash was in the hospital, someone had made blankets to give to the children there that were enduring mm-hmm. surgery or stuffed animals.
And what were the blankets? Are they crocheted? Or
they were just like fabric and then cut and tied at the end,
okay.
you know.
Okay.
But I think it was so meaningful because when you go to a hospital, especially from out of town, you're pretty much stripped of everything that is a personal belonging. So yeah. having your child yeah. get something from somebody is really meaningful.
Sure. Okay, so we go back a little bit in time now. Mm-hmm. You start this foundation. I am having a run at Good Soul, and you come in. And you said, how did we make that connection?
You know, you had heard the story of what was going on, and we had talked about you. I think you had said, hey, Juliet, I'll have a 5K here.
Yeah, I just got the approval from the town to have a 5K. Yeah. That's right.
And
that's right.
And you said, would you be interested in collaborating? And then we really turned to you, really. You were very inspirational to start the charity, thinking like, okay, we could do this, and this is going to get legs here,
yeah.
and we're going to have a nonprofit organization. So I think from there it was born, and I also met with a friend of mine in the community, and he looked me in the face after hearing the story, and he was like, I'm going to start donating, and I'm going to help you, and Amazing. We're going to do this. So we sat down with both of our children, and we came up with Project Change, and we have a logo of a changing face. It's sure. kind of like a Picasso.
And we're showing the logo on the screen along okay. with the QR code for the run. But keep
yes,
talking.
And so I felt very compelled that for Cash and the community of people that have fibrous dysplasia, that I wanted them to know that we were going to create a community. That especially, and for Cash, I wanted him to know, I'm not ashamed of you. We're going to create a nonprofit organization, and we're going to raise awareness about this disease like never before.
Okay.
We're going to educate the community on the topic because we love you. We are so proud of you, and we're here for you, and we're going to shout it from the rooftops. There is zero shame in this. You can't control it. You can't hide it. You can't put on a T-shirt. You just go be you and your mom and dad and this community. We have your back. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've done is we've started a nonprofit organization where one time a year we have a 5K here in Mooresville. Mm-hmm. And it is actually now historically the largest gathering for fibrous dysplasia support in the world.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. So we originally going to have it here at Good Soul. We ended up moving it to, you moved it to Pine Lake Prep, which I think is great. I don't think Good Soul would have been big enough, our parking lot and so forth. Pine Lake just worked out perfectly. Okay. Yeah. So let's keep going.
We have a couple of metrics that we do in the nonprofit. Number one, like I've mentioned, is educating the community. Number two is medical scholarships for people that have fibrous dysplasia, because like our family, they have to travel for surgeries, and the costs are quite outrageous once you start getting up, you know, into dealing with some of the medical care that is needed.
Sure.
And also we started doing gift baskets to children and adults who have to endure multiple surgeries, because oftentimes this patient population doesn't just have one surgery. There's people that have like 7 craniotomies just to try to save their vision.
Just keep going back.
Or
keep going
multiple breaks in their femurs, or something with great significance where they have to return. Another thing that we do is we raise money for research, because there is another organization called the FDMAS Alliance, and that is specifically focused on research only for fibrous dysplasia.
Okay.
So, you know, we're doing quite a bit. This year we are giving away 4 medical scholarships, and the organization in 12 months has actually gone international at this point.
Wow.
I do want to say that, and this is true, and I'm not just saying this, we had people in our community hear about Cash, like yourself, mm-hmm. and the people at Good Soul Yoga, like Christine and Amy.
Beanstalk, Amy Spear,
yes,
incredible.
Who I had never met before, mm-hmm. that heard about the story and what we were trying to do, and really came and rallied beside Cash mm-hmm. and the fibrous dysplasia community and said, hey, we're going to turn this into something positive, and we're going to run with it. Mm-hmm. And this is a real thing, and it's significant, mm-hmm. and it's happening, and we're here, and we have your back.
Yeah. The girls were here talking last week, and it hit me that y'all didn't know each other before.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah. And I said to Christine, I'm like, oh my God, oh, that's right. You don't know each other. The first meeting was me, you, and Sue, mm-hmm. Sue Radcliffe, and Sue was with Pinky Swear. And then next thing we knew, there was a table of probably mm-hmm. 8 ladies here planning this race.
Well, another thing is that during this event that we have in Mooresville, this 5K, Project Change brings in families and children that mm-hmm. have this disease. Mm-hmm. So last year we had 10 families come together to meet each other for the first time. And to give you an idea of how rare the disease is, we had a woman that was 51, 52.
Oh, wow.
And she said, hey, I've never even met another person with fibrous dysplasia in my life. So
how many people worldwide? Do you have those statistics?
It's pretty minimal. I'm not sure what the statistics are, because really they don't know. But there is a Facebook group that is private that has 4,000 members that includes friends and families that's worldwide.
Okay.
So it's pretty rare.
So we are having, you are having the Project Change Color Dash 5K.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to be held at Pine Lake Prep on Saturday, April 13th. 8 to 9 is check-in. The race starts at 9. Food trucks, bounce house, face painting, fun and games for the entire family.
Yes.
So this is a great cause, right? It's a fun event that you can bring your entire family to. And it's all started, I mean, it's all based on the magic to me of Cash and the Thomas family and what you guys have brought together. So when we come back, we're going to get a little bit more into the race, and we're going to talk about how to react. How do we react if this happens to us? How do we react if this happens to our loved ones? So don't go away. We'll see you when we come back on The Good Soul. Welcome back, everybody. This is The Good Soul. We're on episode 9, and our topic for discussion today is Project Change. And wow, I've learned so much from you, Juliet, on so many levels. You know, Manny was just saying on the break, it's not only just about fibrous dysplasia. It's about his diagnosis with MS. There's so many. I mean, we could sit and talk about this for hours and hours on end and still not even scratch the surface. So I mean this. Thank you for like sharing your story with us and giving us the opportunity. I mean, I want to go out and like, I don't know, sell our house and donate all our money to.
Well, I want to say you bring up a good point, because one of the mottos of our charity is that we embrace others and we promote love and acceptance regardless of disease or any other uncontrolled influence. So there really is a bigger message, because so many people have different things that they're facing health-wise and diagnoses, and having any type of diagnosis, especially a rare one, can be very isolating. Mm-hmm. So one of the messages that I like to send on behalf of the charity is that, you know, you're not alone. right? There's people behind you, there's communities, you have support, and we're here for you.
Yeah. Well, I always say, and natural disasters and any type of tragedy of any sort, we always have each other's backs, no matter what. Shape, size, color, religion, God we pray to. People are really innately, I think, fantastic. At least 99.9% of us, though. I mean, you're living proof. So on that note, since we're talking virtue and so forth, let's run this short clip of Cash. It's 30 seconds about, and this is just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of his character and what an absolute Dolly angel he is. So check this out.
So my motto for life in general is there's hard things and you have to work through them. And eventually you can turn them into something good if you want to. You got to have that positive mindset and try to make things better and better. So if you want to, you can make something good out of a bad thing.
How adorable was that? Oh my God. He is the cutest. You done good, Juliet. That's
Thank
for
you.
Sure. You done good. So he looks fantastic, as we can all see. How is he acclimated?
Cash is an interesting person. He's doing wonderful. He's happy. He has a very nice friend group and support system and people who have really rallied behind him and accept him for who he is.
Okay.
And he's a patient person. I would also describe him as an intellect, someone who's very deep, a deep thinker, interesting. A lot of people talk to him and say, wow, he's an old soul, and he really is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could see it in the clip of him. I mean, he has a head on his shoulders. Was there ever a moment throughout this ordeal when he was like, why me? I wish this wasn't
Never.
Me. Amazing.
Never.
Amazing. I never asked you that question. Amazing. Wow. Okay. So I was just telling you also on the break that we in high school, there was a guy that had what's the best way for you to
cleft palate.
But there was another term you used in the first segment. You didn't use the word, the D word. The
facial differences.
Yeah, facial differences is
what.
So he had a facial difference, and it was, like, really cool. It gave him not only character, but, like, all the ladies love this guy. I mean, these things that we absolutely positively turn them into something beautiful. And I think that these issues, like my husband who limps, I would say walks like Herman Munster, like I wouldn't have him any other way. I think his limp is sexy and cute. I do, baby. I love that. I mean, I love that swagger. So, and the same thing holds true. Again, another sidebar, you had mentioned this, meat. No cure for fibrous dysplasia, correct?
No.
Medication, treatment?
There are medications, but they're, you know, on the level of chemotherapy, they're
high
not what you want to, right? And they're not appropriate for a growing child unless there's
it's life threatening,
right?
Okay, so yeah, Manny was on some medication. It's off the market now called Tysabri when we first were together, and he was in the hospital with pneumonia like every other month.
Is it off the market?
Tysabri is off the market now. Yeah, it's off the market. Yep, it is. Yeah, so.
Pneumonia every other month.
I mean, the side effects sometimes are much worse than the actual condition itself. The side effects of the medication, that is. Okay, so I think we covered pretty much all we need to on the run. Is there anything else you wanted to add about the run?
No, that if people are available in the community, we'd love to have their support. They can bring their families, their children, their leash pets.
Yeah.
You can walk, you can run, just show up. We are going to have a live DJ, food trucks, and live entertainment. So I think it's going to be a great day, and we certainly welcome the support. So
I love it. And it's funny because I've in studying our stats for the podcast, we're getting people at this point worldwide watching this show. So not everybody lives in the LKN. So even my friends from New Jersey, my friends in Los Angeles, my friends in England, right? You can still donate. So it's www.projectchange.info. The QR code will be on the screen. If not now, it's going to be towards the end of the show. Donate otherwise. You don't have to necessarily come. And maybe we'll come in live on Facebook that day.
That'd be fun.
And yeah, we'll do something fun to kind of tie people in. So I feel like I rarely hear you talk about anything negative. I had a conversation with you, and I found this to be very interesting, that the way the mama bear came out in you, because the same thing came out in me when you told me the story. There was a silly issue. We don't even need to get into details, because Cash was just being a normal child. Something silly happened when they were playing, and I guess this mother didn't approve of what was happening. And how frustrating it was for you. How hard is it for you not to default to, do you know what my son is dealing with? Don't treat him that way. Can you like share how you as a parent are dealing with not distinguishing him from other children, or do you?
Well, you know, we tell our children to their face that neither one of you are victims and that nobody feels sorry for you. And, you know, you need to go on and live your life and face it. And so what? Get up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the next day. Keep it moving. You know, sometimes as a mother, I feel like on the inside, I'm like screaming, like, you know, I of course don't want these things to happen to my children or really any child yeah. or person, right?
Yes.
But I think that if we show our children that we're not capable of getting up and moving on and we're not strong people, or if we give them language that gives them excuses for how they could accept, you know, negative behavior from an outside influence, that doesn't set the stage for them. That doesn't really help them.
Right. So you're trying to give them as normal of a upbringing, parenting skills. Do you still have to discipline him? Like if he's a bad boy,
of course.
Does it affect the way you discipline him?
We treat them, both of our children, very normally that they're disciplined. I will say that my outlook on life has changed. Like since having a diagnosis, you know, I always thought, you know, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be an athlete. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to have a career. I'm going to have money. And then when you're faced with something that is this significant, this real, it's very much eye-opening that a lot of the things that you think are important really aren't important. Maybe how we look and is not as important as we once thought. It's more about, let's focus on the real things, like what is your overall health and how much money you have or make really doesn't define your character, but maybe you should reflect back on who you're with, who you're spending your time with, how you're spending your time, you know, how you treat other people. Some of the basics that I'm not saying I was missing, but really got bubbled up to thinking, let's reevaluate what our real values are here.
What's important. Absolutely.
Yes.
How have your friends and family, now I know your friends and family have been wonderful, so that goes without saying, but has there been any challenges with being able to ask for what you need or anything like that? Or do you feel like that's all kind of been smooth for you?
So,
like, what do we do?
You know, everybody's experience might be different. And I will say this, we had people come support us that we'd never met before, and people where we had relationships that just really blossomed that became these amazing human beings. And I've mentioned the Carnagios, and I do want to say that Dr. Carnagio of Piedmont Dental gave a huge contribution to one of our patients that had lost her teeth due to fibrous dysplasia.
Wow.
Last year we were sitting at the dinner and we were hosting a private party for the fibrous dysplasia folks, and this lady had to take out her teeth to eat, and she was like crying and, you know, I've lost my teeth due to this disease. And Dr. Carnagio heard the story and said, you know, I'm going to donate dental implants to this lady, and I'm going to work on her on behalf of the organization. So I can maybe also share that I had a close friend of mine that did not know how to navigate such a difficult journey with a mother, and our relationship ended, which was totally fine. And when it ended, at first, I'll be very honest, I was sad that that relationship had its season, but what it did do is it made room for all these really amazing people that had great character and love and support and did know how to really be supportive of a difficult situation. I mean, it was a difficult situation.
Well, I don't mean to sound negative here, but it's kind of like Ariana on the Vanderpump Rules. So something bad happened to her and everybody started giving her attention. And by default, the other girls started almost getting jealous a little bit. And again, I don't mean to be negative at all, but we humans, all of us, we can be tough sometimes. So any last thoughts on just what we can do for our friends if they're going through something similar to this with our family? Just be there for them?
Yeah, I would just say be a good listener. And a lot of times I feel like when people face difficulties, they may try to push away friends or be isolated. Don't be persuaded by that. People still always need the love and support. And even a text message or a thought with some consistency, especially when there's a child involved, you know, don't be afraid to be present.
Okay.
So,
Juliet, I can't thank you enough for everything you've shared with us today. I'll say it again. I've learned so much. So, guys, I'm just going to remind you, and you could see the QR code and graphic on the screen, but please attend the race. It's the Project Change. It's a color run this year, which I'm really excited. We're at the orange table. And just thanks for watching. Like, share, comment, subscribe, and you can also catch us on WSIC on Saturday mornings or on your favorite platform. We'll see you next time. Peace.